Our study in Ephesians today brings us to chapter 6, and we're going to read through verses 1 through 4, though I suspect we'll only have time to talk about verses 1 through 3. If you'll read along with me, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Before we pray together, I'd like to remind us of two things that sets the overall stage for the study today. First of all, I would remind you that the overall theme of Ephesians is worship of God. In the first three chapters, we talked about acknowledging the greatness of God, which is revealed in what he has done for us through Christ. And that greatness of God is intended to get us to get our eyes off ourselves and turn away from ourselves and turn towards him and give him the worship, the honor, the praise, the reverence, the awe that is due to him. And then the last three chapters of Ephesians are intended to show us how to worship God in our daily lives through how we live, what we think, what we say, what we do. All of these things are things that express either worship of God or worship of self or worship of money or worship of other things. And, of course, preferably as Christians, we want our thoughts, words, and deeds to demonstrate and express worship of God. And so that's the overall theme of Ephesians. The second thing I'd like to remind you of here before we jump into this particular portion is that the overall theme within the larger theme, the overall theme of Ephesians 5, verses 17 through chapter 6, verse 9, is Christian submission. And Christian submission has the purpose of promoting and protecting godly influence in the life of each Christian in every setting where we as Christians have relationship with other Christians. And this includes the home, between husbands and wives, and we've talked about that, between parents and children, Christian parents, Christian children, and in the workplace, between Christian employers and Christian employees. And so I want you to keep in mind as well, along with this overall theme of worship, this smaller but nonetheless overall theme of Christian submission, which covers chapter 5, verse 17, through chapter 6, verse 9. With those things in mind, let's bow together in prayer and ask God to speak to us today as we consider his word. Father God, this is your word. It is not ours. And even as we express our points of view about it, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, that it would be your Holy Spirit at work, bringing forth truth and making that truth real to each of us as we listen to what you have to say to us. Father, speak clearly today. Speak in ways that we can grab hold of what is said and apply it to our lives in the most practical and realistic ways possible. So I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We read here in Ephesians 6:1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." All right, children and young people, I encourage you to listen carefully here. God is saying that the right thing to do is to obey and honor or respect your parents. Now, let me say that God is not saying it is the easy thing to do, but he is saying it is the right thing to do. Well, what does it mean to obey? To obey is to listen to, your parents. But it's more than that. We can listen to our parents and just ignore what they're saying. Those words can strike our eardrums, and we can make sense of those words in our intelligence, but we can also ignore those words, can't we? And so to obey is to both listen and follow the instructions, or live within the restrictions of our parents, or obey the commands of our parents. And so to obey is to both listen and do. It's listen and follow, listen and live up to, listen and live within the boundaries that our parents set for us. And so what does it mean then to honor or respect our parents? And I use that word respect along with honor because they go together. Well, to honor or respect our parents is to treat our parents as if they are valuable to us. It means to show them the kind of honor or respect that is due a parent. And it means to live in such a way as to protect their reputation. Now, what I've given you is three parts of a total definition of honoring or respecting our parents. The first part of this is this. It's to treat our parents as if they are valuable to us. Now, there are moments when we as children may be pretty upset at our parents and we don't think of them as real valuable to us. In fact, they're standing in the way of what they want. They're asking us to do what we don't want to do. They're preventing us from doing what we want to do. And we're not holding them in high value at that moment. But God says, regardless of what you're thinking about your parents, we are to treat our parents as if they are valuable to us. That's what it means to honor or respect. We don't have to feel that they're valuable to us, but we do have to, as Christians, treat them as if they are valuable to us. And of course, as we work out our thinking and our views of life with God, we may discover that our parents are a whole lot more valuable to us on the emotional level than we ever thought in some of those moments when we're upset at them. The second part of that definition is to show them the kind of honor or respect that is due a parent. And what does that mean? Parents are in a position of authority. They are over children. And we, by nature, give respect and honor to those who are over us. Now, I realize we live in a culture that doesn't believe this anymore. But this has been the way of life for centuries, and it is still the way of life in some cultures. Our culture has tried to free us from this kind of thinking, and there's a sense in which we need to be freed from the foolishness of blind obedience or blind, unhealthy respect. But there is nothing wrong with treating those over us according to their position. There's nothing wrong with that at all. In fact, that's part of honoring and respecting our parents, treating them according to their position. They're the boss. They're the ones who are the provider. They're the protector. They're the caretaker. And we need to treat them accordingly. And the third part of this definition of honor and respect includes living in such a way as to protect their reputation. See, we can't honor our parents if we live in such a way that damages their reputation. We can't show respect to our parents if we're out there doing things that, when people find out who we are, it reflects badly on our parents. Now, I acknowledge I failed at this many times as a young person. And so I'm not holding myself up as the example here, but I am telling all of us that if we are followers of Jesus Christ, if we consider ourselves Christians and we are young people, then we need to think about living in such a way that protects the reputation of our parents. Now, I want to add this idea to what we've just been talking about, and you've heard me say this in part already, but I want to be real clear about this. Young people, God is not saying that you have to admire or approve of all the things your parents say and do. But he is saying that you are to treat them as if you do admire them. Now, you may be thinking as a young person or young adult that this kind of requirement, having to give obedience and honor to those above you, is so typical of adults. And maybe it is. But learning to obey and honor your parents is vital to the development of your character. And if the development of your character is not that important to you at this stage of life, let me give you three advantages that obeying and honoring your parents bring to you. First, learning to obey and honor your parents will teach you how to properly obey and honor God. As Christian young people, this is vital to your spiritual development. Properly obeying and honoring God is vital to your spiritual growth. But beyond that, if you are to grow in intimacy with God and enter into meaningful relationship with Him, then you need to know how to obey and honor Him. Don't ever deceive yourselves, young people. The degree to which you disobey and disrespect your parents is the degree to which you will disobey and disrespect God Himself. So learning obedience and respect at home fits you for a better, more mature, more deeply intimate relationship with God Himself. That's blessing number one. Number two, obeying and honoring your parents brings an added measure of God's blessing upon your life. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, where Moses is recounting the law to the Israelites before they enter the promised land. And we read these words there, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. Well, what's the point here? The point is that if we will honor and obey our parents, God will pour out extra blessing on our lives, blessing that is above and beyond the blessing that He normally pours out upon people's lives. So what's the point here? Young people, you gain for yourself added above and beyond blessing from God by giving your parents obedience and honor. Now, it's true, sometimes it comes at quite the expense, because you want to go your own way, you want to do your own thing, you want to have your own kind of fun, you want to rule your own life, you want to be like your friends and your and the people around you in the community, and sometimes you can't do all of that and still obey and honor your parents. And so, yes, it comes at a price, but the value of the blessing from God far exceeds any cost to yourself of obeying and honoring your parents. Now, I don't know what you think about God-type blessings, but my experience has convinced me that there are no riches or fame or power or position or pleasure or freedoms that come close to equaling the blessings of God in my life. And to have added blessing above and beyond is a rich treasure indeed. And so I encourage you, young people, to value the second blessing as much as you value the first blessing that I mentioned, which is learning how to obey and honor God. The third blessing that comes from obeying and honoring your parents is a blessing which you probably won't be thinking about much at this stage in your life, but it will serve you well all the rest of your days. As you learn how to give obedience and honor to those in authority over you, you are building a solid foundation which will enable you and equip you to participate in mutual submission as a Christian in the church, and as a Christian in your home, and as a Christian in the workplace. You see, mutual submission does not come naturally to any of us. We like to be self-ruled, and we like to be on top. We want to be the ruler. Mutual submission means I have to give up my way to find our way, the way of the spouse and I, the way of the child or parents and I, the way of the other believer and I, the way of the church and I. It becomes our way. And you're not going to learn how to do our way if you don't know how to obey and honor those who have authority over you. And so giving obedience and honor to your parents prepares you to enter into the kind of mutual submission that we've been talking about here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 through chapter 6, verse 9. Now, I want to turn my attention to the parents for a bit here, and to the parents, I want to say it's interesting to note that God does not tell you, the parents, to teach your children how to obey, honor, and respect you. Now, he does talk about raising up a child in the way he should go, and he talks about wisdom and how wisdom is best for the child. And so, surely, we gain a lot of ideas about good parenting from the Scriptures. But in this portion, here in Ephesians, and also in Colossians, a portion that is very similar to this Ephesians portion, God does not say to you, parents, teach your children how to obey and honor. Instead, we see God speaking directly to the children. And he's telling them how to treat their parents. Now again, let me affirm that I'm not saying parents should not be actively involved in teaching their children how to obey and be respectful. But it seems to me that God is making an important point here by addressing the children directly on this matter of obedience and honor. To my way of thinking, by addressing the children directly, God is implying that his audience is old enough to understand this commandment and mature enough to put it into practice of their own free will. And if this is true, it raises the question of what age child is God speaking to here? How old must a child be to understand this commandment and be mature enough to put it into practice of his own free will? As you think about that, let me share some of my thoughts on this topic. It is my opinion that God is speaking to children over the approximate age of 14 years. And allow me to give you four reasons why I believe this. I believe that God is speaking to children over the age of 14, and I'm not saying 14 is a dyed-in-the-wool, cut-off point, marker of separation. It's a general age area that I'm pointing to. So hear it this way. It is my opinion that children younger than 14 are, one, still too young and inexperienced to reason things out to the point of comprehending the long-term consequences of their thoughts, their choices, their words, their deeds, and the consequences on themselves and the consequences of their behavior on others. You see, children, say up to the age of 14, are not equipped mentally or experientially to project into the future the likely consequences of their immediate behavior. Now, I'm not saying that they can't project into the future what's going to happen if they get caught by their parents. But that's because they're operating under the system of fear and hope. And young children ought to be operating under that system because that's their level of maturity, fear and hope. Fear that they're going to be punished if they do what's wrong. Hope that they will be blessed and praised if they do what is right. And so that becomes the motivating factor in their life. That becomes the thinking basis of what they do and don't do in their life. They're not thinking values. They're not thinking, what do I really believe here? They're not thinking, what is it that's really right or wrong according to the character that I want to build, or according to the good of the community, or according to the honor of God. They're just not thinking that way. And they're pretty much not equipped to think that way. Doesn't mean we shouldn't be talking to our young people about these things. We need to be talking to our younger children about these things, planting the seeds of these realities, these truths, these precious treasures into their mind and hearts. But under somewhere around the age of 14, they're just not equipped to think that way of their own free will on their own. So I'm saying, number one, the first reason is they're still too young and inexperienced to reason things out to the point of comprehending the true long-term consequences of their behavior. Number two, they're still too young and inexperienced to realistically count much more than the immediate cost of living up to the teachings and expectations of their parents and the scriptures and the Sunday school teachers and the pastor in relation to their daily activities of life. In other words, they are just doing what they're told, largely. They haven't really counted the cost of doing what they're told. And yes, because they want the blessing, because they want their parents' favor, they're more inclined to do what's right than to do what's wrong. Now, yes, they go off and do what's wrong, and they hope they get away with it. They hope they don't get caught. But generally speaking, children want to please their parents. But they haven't really counted the cost of living this way, and they haven't really had to count the cost of living this way, especially when they're younger than 14. So what's the point I'm trying to make here? Parents, our children can agree with almost any behavior, within reason, of course, with almost any behavior that we train them up in. And why can they agree with it? Because they haven't been challenged to pay the true price of it yet. You see, at that young age, the cost of behavior is minimal. It isn't until we get older that we begin to realize middle teens, late teens, early adult years. It isn't until we get into those years that we begin to realize just how much it's going to cost us to live the way our parents taught us. And parents, God is saying here, young people, obey and honor. And those of us who are older fully understand that giving obedience and honor to our parents can be very costly to some of the things we truly value, to some of the things we believe, to some of the things we fear, to some of the things we hope for, to some of the treasures that we long to have. And it isn't until those kinds of things are sorely tested, and that means painfully tested. It isn't until those kinds of things are sorely tested that we come close to understanding the cost, and the same is true for your young children. And so until they are able to freely give obedience and respect, they are still unable to count the cost of freely giving that kind of obedience and honor to their parents. And that's why I think God is talking to children at least 14 years of age and older. Number three, children younger than 14 are still too young and inexperienced to realistically see the extent of their sinfulness and their propensity to sin, which means that they don't see the need to develop and own solid moral convictions, life-guiding values, and basic beliefs necessary to living a freely chosen Christian life. Now, I'm not suggesting that these young people cannot choose to be Christian, but they don't quite know what they're really choosing yet. They don't know the cost of that choice. They don't know what it takes to die to themselves. Or in Bonhoeffer's words, they don't know the cost of discipleship. They're young people. They're children. And so God is speaking to those who are old enough to understand that they are serious sinners and they have a serious and unhealthy desire to sin within them, and it requires self-discipline and growth and effort to become the new creature in Christ that they need to be in order to, of their own free will, give the kind of obedience and honor to their parents that God is speaking of here in Ephesians chapter 6. Well, my fourth and final reason for considering that those younger than 14 are too young and those over 14 are probably old enough is that God held a certain age responsible and those under he did not hold responsible at a time in Israel's history when they made a very foolish choice. I want to take you back to Numbers chapter 14, verses 26 to 35. And in that portion of Scripture, we read the story of Israel choosing to go against God when it came to entering the Promised Land. And as you recall, Moses had sent 12 spies into the Promised Land, and 10 of them returned with a bad report, and 2 of them returned with a good report. And the people of Israel listened to the 10 and ignored the 2, and felt like God had just really let them down, and they spent the night weeping and wailing in their tents and complaining against Moses, and they got up in the morning ready to head back to Egypt. And here's what we read in Numbers chapter 14, starting at verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who are grumbling against me? I have heard the complaints of the sons of Israel, which they are making against me. Say to them, 'As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. Your corpses shall fall in the wilderness, even all your numbered men, according to your complete number, from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Surely you shall not come into the land in which I swore to settle you, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joseph, the son of Nun. Your children, however, whom you said would become a prey, I will bring them in, and they shall know the land which you have rejected. But as for you, your corpses shall fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness, and they shall suffer for your unfaithfulness until your corpses lie in the wilderness, according to the number of days which you spied out the land, 40 days. For every day you shall bear your guilt a year, even 40 years, and you shall know my opposition. I, the Lord, have spoken. Surely this I will do to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be destroyed, and there they shall die." Well, what does this story tell us? It tells us that God said those 20 years and over are going to die in the wilderness. Those 19 years and below are too young to be held accountable for what they've done. By the way, he didn't pick 14 like I'm doing today. And I'm picking 14 mostly for your sake, because it's pretty hard to swallow this idea, isn't it? You see, to God, those who were younger than 20 years of age, they were 19 and below, in spite of how they might have argued against doing what God wanted, in spite of how well they might have sided with their parents, in spite of all the things they might have said around the dinner table or as they sat in the living room in their tent there in the desert, in spite of how ferocious their arguments were against following Moses and heading back to Egypt, God said, "I'm not going to hold them responsible. They're too young." Now, let me be very honest with you. What God did with Israel those many years ago may not be his universal or eternal line of accountability, but it does give us a clue as to God's thinking on what age a child is who can make these choices of their own free will and be held accountable, and who is not yet mentally and emotionally prepared to be held accountable, even though they're talking as if they're making these choices of their own free will. So what is my point here? We spent a lot of time on this. I do not think these words of instruction here in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, are meant for children younger than their early teens. And why is this an important point? Because we parents too often and too easily expect adult understanding and adult behavior from our children. This is not only wrong on our part, it places unrealistic expectations on our children, which in turn frustrates them. Why? Because they cannot live up to our expectations. But it not only frustrates our children, it frustrates us as parents. Why? Because our kids don't live up to our expectations. And all of this for nothing. Just for nothing. Because we have expected our children to think and then act like adults. Now let me return to talking to you teens who are at least midway through your teen years and the young adults. Let me ask you this question. When are you most inclined to disobey and to show disrespect? And I think the answer is obvious. When you are being forbidden or restricted from getting something you want more than you want to obey. Yes, teens and adults can be very respectful and appear most obedient until they are being asked or forced to miss out on something they believe they must have to be happy or to feel secure or to go their own way. And why am I raising this question and giving you the answer? Well, for the Christian teen or young adult, giving godly obedience and showing godly respect is indeed a matter of faith. Faith in the presence, in the love, and in the goodness of God to sufficiently take care of you regardless of what those over you are requiring of you. It takes the faith that David had to go out and meet Goliath. It takes faith in God. If you do not trust in God, young people, you will trust in the next most trustworthy person that you know, and that's yourself. And you will take matters into your own hand and figure out what you should do yourself and go your own way. And you will end up going against God and away from God. And you will find yourself disobeying and dishonoring your parents. You see, to give the kind of obedience and honor that God is asking us to give as Christian young people requires deep, serious faith in God. And so I encourage you, young people, nurture your faith in God. And this brings us to another question. When is disobedience acceptable? Disobedience is acceptable when our parents are requiring or expecting us to do something that is contrary to God's general will for godliness. And on those rare occasions when God has spoken to us specifically. And I say rare occasions because I don't want you young people to play this as if it's your ace in the hole, so to speak. Don't be pulling out this, God told me, Mom and Dad, therefore you got to let me do it. No, but there are times when God has given specific instructions to young people. And you need to do that. You need to follow God's will specifically in your life. That's the rare occasion. We might run up against parental rules, regulations, requirements, demands, expectations, boundaries that prevent us from fulfilling God's general will as expressed in His Word. And that's when it is acceptable to disobey. But let me add this, young people. As with the people in the Old Testament, so in the New, disobedience may bring punishment. And even though we are disobeying in order to please our God, we must be willing to submit to the punishment of the world because of our disobedience. And hence, Daniel submitted to being thrown in the lion's den. The three friends of Daniel submitted to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And we must be willing to receive the discipline and punishment of our parents if we're going to part ways with them on issues of godliness. Or to put it another way, even though disobedience may be the godly response to certain demands or expectations of our parents, we as children must be willing, always willing, to bear the cost of our disobedience without complaint. And the third question I have for us young people is, when is disrespect acceptable? And the answer to that question is never. It's never acceptable for parents to show disrespect to their children. It's never acceptable for children to show disrespect to their parents. Does this mean I cannot tell my folks the truth? No. I can tell them the truth, but I always want to speak the truth with respect. I always want to say things in a way that shows honor, that shows respect. Which brings us back to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And let me just read this in summary, and then we'll close. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Let's pray together.